meet you, Dirk. I glanced around the area. If you don't mind me asking, why were you waiting for me?
You see...
He raised his hand behind his head, looking embarrassed.
I was hoping, maybe, I could join you. If it isn't too much trouble.
I raised an eyebrow. You want to join me? To confront the Demon King? He nodded.
I think it's very important. And maybe I could help a little. If you'd have me, that is. What classes do you have?
Ken asked. Dirk's head spun, his eyes widening slightly, as if seeing Ken for the first time. With a trembling hand, Dirk reached up to adjust his glasses.
Just one, sorry. It's a dark l- I mean, Dark Knight. Dark Knight is, what I meant to say, is the name of my class.
Ken gave him a serious look.
Dark Knight is a very rare class, but quite powerful. You get a mixture of weapon skills and offensive magic, yes?
Dirk looked from side to side, then back to Ken.
Yes. I can do both of those things.
Ken looked to me.
We could use an offensive magic wielder. It's one of the few things we're really lacking.
We could use more offense in general, really, I replied. I'm much more utility-focused, and your powers lend themselves more toward healing and defense. I turned toward Dirk. I think you might be a good fit for us, Dirk. His expression brightened immediately.
Really? I'd be ever so grateful.
He seemed so genuine and excited, it was hard not to like him. But I did have a few reservations. Listen, Dirk, I'm not going to lie to you. Our quest is very dangerous, and there's a good chance we're going to fail. And if we fail, we're very likely going to die. For once, Dirk didn't stammer in his response. He seemed to straighten a little, too.
We're all going to die anyway, if we do nothing.
You might be right. But there are other options. You could wait it out for a new hero to revive, like in old times. Or you could travel to another land, like some people are.
Or trust in the goddesses to provide for us, Ken added. They have never failed to intercede in our times of greatest need.
Dirk's expression hardened.
Goddesses. Indeed.
He shook his head.
I think I'll take my chances with you, Yui, and...
He turned toward Ken.
Ken. Ken Say.
Ken smiled, finally walking closer.
Before we take you somewhere dangerous, I'd like to see some of your skills. Would you be willing to fight a monster for us? We could help if you need it.
Monster?
Dirk asked.
Like a dragon?
Ken laughed.
There's no need to start with something that big. We could go hunt something smaller, like goblins, or something else novices start with.
Or slimes, I suggested. We could fight...
Anything other than slimes,
Ken interrupted.
We will not be fighting any more slimes. Ever.
His tone brooked no argument. Dirk shook his head.
No, that's not why I suggested. I didn't mean...
He looked pained, clearly having trouble finding the words.
Hold on.
He winced, turned, and fled off toward a cavern entrance on the side of the mountain where the metal temple had once stood. We waited and watched for a time. Minutes passed. Ken asked,
Should we go get him or something?
I hesitated. Maybe. I'm getting a little worried. If he isn't back in a few... And then I saw him. I froze. He walked slowly toward us, dragging something heavy behind him.
Sorry.
He lifted and dropped it in front of us.
I mentioned the dragon because, you see...
I looked at what he dropped in front of us. It was, unmistakably, the top half of the body of a dragon.
I kind of already killed one.
Step 10. Defeat the Demon King. Four adventurers made their way to the Demon King's castle. Well, three adventurers and a fairy. I'm still unclear if Vex counted as a party member or not, but let's give her the benefit of the doubt. The Demon King's castle was located on the furthest edges of the Dark Continent to the west. Traveling there took weeks. As we progressed across the continent, we dodged assassins and fought terrible monsters. The journey was difficult, but in the end, we stood proud at our destination. The castle was surrounded by a dome-shaped barrier of dark energy. According to legend, the only way to pierce it was through the full power of the Pentacrest. We were about to put that to the test. The first test was the simplest. I threw a rock at the barrier. It disintegrated on contact. Next, I walked closer. Ken put a hand on my shoulder.
I don't really think this is a good idea.
I glanced back at him. Do we have better options? He winced.
Not really. I could, blast it for us,
Dirk offered. I shook my head at Dirk. We can try that, but the odds that you have the power to overcome the Demon King's barrier are pretty low. I'd seen Dirk in combat over the last couple weeks of travel, and while his abilities were admittedly impressive, I didn't think he'd be able to overcome the barrier with brute force. I still didn't know exactly how powerful Dirk was. He was weirdly cagey about the subject, but I put that down to social awkwardness and embarrassment. Ken had tried to cast Scan on Dirk once or twice, but it didn't work properly for some reason. He presumed it was because of some kind of Dark Knight class ability.
If you say so.
Dirk frowned, clearly wanting to say more. We'll keep it in mind as an option. For now, I'd prefer to try things that are a little less direct. So let's get started, shall we? Thus, we began Operation Dig a Giant Hole. My inventory skill was useful for storing huge amounts of water. I'd wondered if, perhaps, I could store huge amounts of ordinary dirt and stone instead. This seemed like the perfect time to test it. I touched the ground and concentrated my mind. But when I tried to inventory the ground, I got just a single grain of dirt. I sighed. Apparently, the earth beneath us was considered multiple items, whereas units of water weren't. I didn't understand the reason it worked that way, but it meant no instantly digging tens of thousands of pounds of earth into my inventory. With that approach failing, we tried it the hard way. Inventory, remove shovels, Ken groaned. His hand glowed as he reached for one.
Bless weapon.
Then he touched each of us.
Moderate strength.
Blessed shovels, weirdly, were more effective than normal ones. We dug pretty fast. Unfortunately, we found just what we'd feared. The barrier wasn't just a dome. It was a sphere. We dug a solid 10 feet down to confirm, but we saw no sign that the barrier abated further underground.
What's next?
Ken asked. I'm thinking I'd try to phase through. Ken shook his head vehemently.
Good odds you explode doing that.
Fair, but Blink is probably going to do the same.
That just means they're both bad ideas, Yui.
I groaned. Fine, let's try this. Phase. I phased myself out while holding a rock. Then I tried to hurl the still-phased rock through the barrier. The rock exploded. I was glad I hadn't tried to phase through the barrier. Okay, next. I picked up another rock. Blink. I didn't cast the spell on myself. I tried to blink the rock itself across the barrier to the other side. The rock vanished. Then there was a brief flash in the air. No rock appeared on the other side of the barrier. I stared at the empty space where the rock should have been. I'm going to call that a draw. Ken stared daggers at me. I stared right back. Well, Ken, if you're going to be all judgy like that, it's your turn. Ken gulped.
I suppose it's for the best this way.
With great hesitation, he removed the Pentacrest pieces from his bag. He approached the barrier, raising the two glowing rings, one with each hand.
Silver Goddess, hear my prayer. I beseech you, aid us in this time of desperate need, and clear our way toward this final confrontation.
The golden rings flashed brightly, and then, as one, We saw a message flash in our vision.
Insufficient pentacrest pieces.
We groaned. The bright glow around the pieces faded, subsiding to their normal, milder level. Ken shook his head.
We've breached tradition to this point, but it seems we've reached our limit.
Not just yet. I shook my head, turning toward Dirk. Okay, your turn. Explode the wall.
Wait. Let's at least back up first,
Ken pleaded. We backed away. Ken cast magic barrier on us. Dirk stared at the wall as if it was his deadliest opponent. Then, he raised his right hand. Carefully, he began to unwrap the bandages.
For this, I'll need to use a fraction of my true power.
I was impressed. I'd never seen him take off the bandages, or look quite so serious. A brilliant red glow enveloped his outstretched hand, growing stronger by the second. The skies darkened, the clouds turning black. In the distance, I heard thunder, and a palpable wave of pressure manifested in the air around him. The earth beneath us trembled and quaked, slowly beginning to break apart. Lightning struck from the skies, surging toward Dirk's hand, then collecting around it. Static energy hissed in the air. My eyes widened. I'd never seen such a potent display of magical power gathering, from Dirk or otherwise. Then, with an expression of great focus, Dirk said,
Demon King, Obliteration Beam.
I was amazed that apparently he had a spell meant specifically for defeating the Demon King. That showed great foresight. Perhaps he'd suffered some sort of tragic loss at the Demon King's hands, and this was his way of seeking revenge. The blast that ripped forth from his hand was colossal, with the raw, kinetic energy released blasting Ken and me backward and toward the ground. A tremendous beam of crimson light shot out toward the barrier. Then the world went white. The next thing I remember was the ringing in my ears. I couldn't see, not right away. Then I felt the ache all over my body. My eyes opened, but slowly. I was on the ground. It was a good thing Ken had told us to back away, because as I examined the area from my position on the ground, I realized I was just at the edge of a titanic crater. The entire area just in front of the barrier had been obliterated. It looked almost like the scene of what had happened to the last three temples, which definitely wasn't suspicious in any way. I pushed myself upward with a groan. Ken and Dirk were on the ground nearby, similarly disoriented but largely unhurt. Ken's magical barrier spell and foresight had saved us. We took a moment to regroup. Ken treated our minor scrapes and bruises with healing spells. And then we looked at the barrier, or rather, what remained of it. The barrier was still in place, but flickering violently. In fact, there were moments here and there where it briefly failed entirely, only to reappear in place a second later. Dirk hadn't managed to break the barrier, but he'd done something incredible. He'd damaged it. Enough, perhaps, that we could make our way through. We exchanged looks. For once, Ken didn't argue.
Good work, Dirk.
Dirk blushed furiously.
Thanks, I guess.
He busily began to rewrap the bandages around his right hand. I thought he might have some sort of glowing crest on it, but I didn't get a good look at it.
It's nothing.
He turned away. You feeling ready to go in? I asked.
We'll have to time it carefully,
Ken responded. We exchanged nods, then cast a round of beneficial spells. Flicker, moderate strength, bless, all that stuff. We chugged mana potions. We needed to be in our absolute best shape if we were going to confront the Demon King. Then, it was finally time. We all joined hands. We'd do this together, or not at all. We waited for one of the moments when the barrier appeared to vanish. Then I spoke. Lesser teleport! And together, we were inside the barrier. We headed to the castle's front doors. They swung wide open as we approached. The Demon King, it seemed, was expecting us. The entrance to the Demon King's castle was a long hallway lined with red carpet. Weapons and armor hung on the walls, as well as the same kind of magic torches that I'd seen on the walls of the wood and water temples. I approached one of the weapons and put a hand on it. It was affixed to the wall, but that sort of thing didn't stop me. Inventory.
Your bag magic has successfully overcome this object's magic resistance.
A sword vanished into my bag. I had no idea if it was purely decorative or not, but I wasn't going to pass up potential demon castle loot.
Yui, focus,
Ken said, his tone insistent. Fine, fine. I led the way down the hallway. We reached a pair of double doors. There were no signs of traps or monsters, which seemed a little odd, but perhaps the Demon King knew that ordinary monsters and traps would serve little purpose against us. I shoved the doors open. They led into a wide-open chamber. A colossal monster awaited us within. He was nearly 7 feet tall, with the upper half of a man in golden armor and the lower half of a snake. His 6 muscular arms each carried a huge, curved sword. We entered the room, bracing for battle.
Welcome, hero, to your end.
The muscular half-serpent struck a dramatic pose, twisting strangely and flexing each arm. I was both impressed and slightly confused. Is that? I whispered, half to myself. Ken shook his head, apparently having heard me.
No, not the Demon King. I think that's...
Behold, mortals!
The serpentine man interrupted.
I am the master of muscles, the sovereign of swollenness. I am Mighty Mordragon, the first of the 4 demon generals.
Ooh, that explains it. I'd known that each demon king would have 4 generals, but they were different every time, so I hadn't recognized him on sight. So... We have to fight you to pass, I take it? He nodded furiously.
You may try, but surely you will lose.
Dirk looked at us, his expression bleak. And slowly, he reached for the bandages on his right hand.
You must press on, Yui. I will hold him here.
Dirk, why? We could, you know, just fight him as a team.
No, that's not how this is done.
Dirk looked strangely determined.
You, the hero, must move on. Your companions must fight the Demon King's generals to buy you time for your final battle.
Yeah, but no. That approach makes 0 sense. We could obviously just... Ken interrupted me.
He's right, Yui. This is our destiny. Though you may have your ways of doing things, don't deny us our roles. We have come this far. And if we choose to play out the roles companions are meant to play, you must allow us to do so.
I let out a deep, heavy sigh. That's... I was about to argue again, but I saw Dirk and Ken's expressions. All this time, I'd done things my way, chosen the path for our whole group without regard to the desires of the others. But if my companions wished to play a role in the story in their own way, what right did I have to deny them that? I gave Dirk a firm nod. Good luck. Ken leaned over, giving Dirk a quick hug.
I will pray for your success.
Dirk froze, startled by the sudden show of affection.
Thanks. I'll, fight him now. Go on.
Ken and Dirk broke apart.
I won't let you leave.
The monarch of muscles jumped forward, descending from the skies and swinging all 6 blades in our direction. Dirk hurled himself in the way.
I will be your opponent.
His great sword slipped free from the scabbard on his back, and in a series of incredible movements, he parried all 6 blades with the single sword of his own.
Go!
Dirk yelled to us, never taking his eyes off his opponent. We ran. Behind us, I was aware of the sound of steel clashing against steel. I heard Dirk say the words to some kind of incantation, then I felt a blaze of heat behind us. Then Dirk began to cackle, and I heard a grunt. I couldn't tell who had made it. I was on the other side of the room then, pushing the doors open into the next hall. Together, Ken and I ran forward down the next hallway, identical to the last. I didn't stop to loot swords this time. I couldn't justify it, not while Dirk was fighting so hard to buy us the time needed to reach the Demon King. We came to the next door, and just as before, it opened into a wide chamber. Within it stood, or rather floated, a man in black robes. I say man, but really I couldn't determine a gender, or even if the person was a person at all. Within his robes was no face, merely a void of darkness.
Humans,
the void's voice echoed across the room.
I am the Deacon of Darkness, the Bishop of Blackness, Dark Pitch Black Soul, the second of the Demon King's generals. And I will obliterate you here.
Ken stepped forward, his sword already outstretched to his side.
Holy sword.
His blade glowed with inner light, and he turned to me.
This is where I leave you, Yui.
Ken, thank you. For everything. He shook his head.
Don't thank me. But before you go, these belong to you.
He reached into his bag, handing me the two golden rings. I slid them into my inventory with a nod. Take care, Ken.
I will. You too. And when I've beaten this opponent,
he turned toward the Bishop of Blackness,
I'll see you again. Ha!
The Demon General laughed.
Don't joke, fool. You've seen your final dawn. We'll see.
Ken rushed forward. So did I, but not on the same path. I ran straight past him to the next door. And then, for the first time I could remember, Ken was no longer by my side. I ran and ran. There might have been something wet in my eyes. Then, I burst into the next room. A woman hovered in the center. She had beautiful long black hair, and she wore all dark garb. Shadowy energy emitted from her hands. The only things about her that weren't dark were the beautiful butterfly-like wings on her back.
Come here alone, have you?
She smiled at me, revealing sharp, vicious fangs.
Then you've come to fail, for I, the pernicious pixie, the fallen fairy, fatal flower, will defeat you.
I heard a pop from within the bag at my side, and a familiar, tiny voice rang out through the air.
She's not alone, idiot.
You!
The fallen fairy spat venom. I mean that literally. There was poison dripping from her mouth as she spoke.
The fairy who failed.
Vex floated in front of me, bawling tiny fists.
No, not anymore. After today.
She glowed with a bright light.
I'll be the fairy who defeated you.
That's kind of a vague title,
the fallen fairy replied.
But you'll never claim it either way. Die.
The fairies flew at each other. I rushed down the hall, now familiar with the routine. And then I reached the next room. It was, so far as I could tell, completely empty. The door slammed shut behind me. I stood in utter darkness, and I knew there was a serious problem. I was alone. And there's one critical thing about the four generals of the Demon King. There are four of them. And I'd run out of companions to sacrifice, leave behind to bravely confront my opponents. I was on my own against an unknown opponent, with no one to buy time for me to proceed toward my goal. With a moment of concentration, I removed a magic torch stolen from the Wood Temple's walls from my inventory. It bathed the room in light, but little else.
You dare bring foul light into my domain.
The voice seemed to echo all around me.
Yeah. Kind of need it to see.
I searched the room, but failed to find my opponent. The low light of the torch illuminated dark stone, but showed no monster. I thought I caught hints of movement out of the corner of my gaze a couple times, but I couldn't follow it. I had very few means of directly attacking someone. I kept my torch in one hand and a sword in the other, hoping they would be enough.
I am the Viceroy of Void, the Deacon of Darkness.
I paused. Wait, wasn't Dark Pitch Black Soul the Demon of Darkness?
There was a moment of silence.
Wait. Hold on.
I heard some shuffling.
No, that one is definitely me,
the voice hissed.
He got confused again.
I heard a sound of a sigh.
It's really quite infuriating when he takes my titles.
I nodded in sympathy. Well, maybe you should go, fight him for it?
Maybe later, the voice rasped. After I'm done killing you.
I braced for an attack, but it came from behind me and too fast to counter. Huge claws grabbed for my spine, ready to sever it in a single swipe. I would have been torn apart if not for the hurled knives that embedded themselves in the claw before it could reach me. I heard a hiss from behind me, startled, and then the creature retreated back into the dark. And then she appeared in a burst of smoke next to me, her dark garb allowing her to blend easily into the shadows of the room. The legendary ninja, who was very definitely not the missing Princess Fitzgerald, nameless Kage. "You came to rescue me," I gasped. "No," the ninja shook their head. "I came to defeat the Demon King, but," they smiled, "this opponent is in my way." The ninja gestured toward the door. "Go. I will defeat this foe." I gave nameless Kage one final nod, then rushed toward the door. I heard the clashing of metal and claws behind me, too fast for me to follow, and then I burst through the door, into the next hall, and finally to the last chamber in the castle. The throne room. The door slammed shut behind me, but that didn't matter. I was far past the point of turning back. The chamber was a huge circle, the floor made from some kind of black reflective crystal. Upon an elevated dais stood a throne. In front of it was a pedestal, upon which sat three golden rings, the last three pieces of the pentacrest, very nearly within my reach. But as close as they were, I couldn't focus on them. My eyes focused on the Demon King, my enemy, my lifelong enemy. He sat on the throne, a great black sword draped across his knees, and smiled at me.
"Hello, Yui,"
the Demon King said.
"I've been expecting you."
I knew his words to be true, not just because he'd opened the door for us, or because of how he'd destroyed three temples to claim the rings on the pedestal in front of him. No, he'd known because he'd been with me. The man sitting on the throne was none other than Dirk Lord. I was shocked by this unexpected and completely unpredictable twist. Dirk? But why? Dirk laughed, standing from his throne and jamming his sword into the floor.
"Why? Why did I join your party and lead you here, bringing the last two pieces of the pentacrest straight to me? Why did I leave the path clear, save for demon generals to separate you from your few pitiful companions?"
"No," I shook my head. "I understand all that. I just want to know, if you're really the Demon King, why did you pick a terrible name like Dirk Lord?" The Demon King snarled, vanishing and appearing right in front of me.
"That is my actual perfectly acceptable name."
I blinked. "Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to offend you."
"No matter,"
he shouted, a little bit too loud. He brought up his tremendous sword.
"You have proven a worthy opponent, Yui, but you have foiled my plans for the last time. I will defeat you, and then nothing will stand in my way."
"Except the silver goddesses," I pointed out, "and of course the hero, when he revives to defeat you." Dirk snarled.
"It doesn't matter. I've taken precautions. Once I have the entire pentacrest, none shall stand against me."
"Really?" I asked. "You don't think the goddesses that created the pentacrest and started your entire cycle of reincarnation have the ability to do anything else? They couldn't, say, take away your powers or deny your ability to use the pentacrest?" Dirk snorted.
"I fear not the goddesses. They too will someday feel my wrath."
I nodded appraisingly. "Good, good. I was thinking the same thing." The Demon King stared at me. I stared right back at him.
There was a moment of awkward silence. Then he said,
"Wait. Hold on, what?"
I gave him a wry grin. "Dirk, you don't really think I didn't realize who you were, did you? With a name like that?" I shook my head. "I admit the stuttering was adorable acting. It's a cute touch."
Acting. Yes, that is, precisely what I was doing."
The Demon King flushed.
"But wait, what was that you were saying before?"
"Right, the goddesses." I sheathed my sword. "For centuries, the silver goddesses have perpetuated a cycle of violence between humanity and demons. I've studied the war extensively, and I realize that you, much like the heroes of yore, have simply been fighting to protect your own people from the endless conflicts that have struck time and time again. Each time you rise, you conquer more territory for your people. Each time the hero does, your people are slaughtered, and dismayed, you are driven back to the afterlife. This time," I waved toward the Pentacrest pieces, "you sought to end the cycle, using the same power the hero uses to defeat you. It's clever, but it'll never work. I went into the restricted archives in the sacred shrine, and I discovered something important. 2 demon kings have gained the entire Pentacrest before. Both were transformed into horrible monsters, only to be defeated by the hero as soon as he revived."
"I will be different," Dirk hissed. "I will not be beaten so easily. I will find a way to subvert the power of the Pentacrest for myself."
I gave him a shrug. "Maybe. Or maybe the Pentacrest is just one more trap laid by the goddesses. Maybe you're compelled to seek it out, only to be doomed to failure." Dirk snarled.
"Then I will destroy you, and the pieces as well."
"Won't work." I shook my head. "The dearly departed Demon King tried it."
"Gah!"
He balled his fists.
"Then what would you have me do, Yui Shah? Give up? Allow the hero to defeat me? I will not permit it."
"No," I said, shifting the golden rings to my other hand. "I have a better plan." I reached out with my right hand, offering it to him. "Join me, Demon King, and I will allow you to rule half the world." He looked at my hand, then back up to me.
"That's kind of supposed to be what I'm supposed to offer the hero."
I nodded. "I know."
"And he always refuses,"
Dirk pointed out. "I know." I smiled. "But in case you haven't noticed, I'm not very heroic, am I?"
"No," the Demon King admitted. "You are something far, far worse."
I raised an eyebrow. "Oh?"
"You're clever. The kind of clever that comes with a deep arrogance. It makes you believe you're capable of anything."
Dirk turned his head upward and laughed.
"It makes me almost want to believe you."
I stepped closer. "Then will you?" His head snapped downward, his eyes glowing.
"Yui Shah."
A blazing aura ripped forward from his body, the heat of it pushing me back.
"If you can defeat me, then, and only then, I will consider your offer."
I gave him an uneasy nod. "Very well, Demon King." Then, a wry grin stretched across my face. "Let's dance." The Demon King struck in an instant, faster than I could hope to match. His speed, power, and skill were all greater than my own. His blade passed straight through me. My flicker spell was still in effect, but it could only save me once. Blink! I vanished, reappearing right next to the pedestal carrying the 3 golden rings. Then, still carrying the other 2, I reached down and touched them together. The 5 rings were joined as one. I won the fight in a single move. Ha! Just kidding. It obviously wouldn't be that simple. When I clicked the rings together, nothing happened, save for a strange, non-metallic sound. The Demon King moved, faster than I could see, and appeared right in front of me. I stared incredulously at the rings on the pillar. He waited as I reached down and touched one. "Are these?" I peeled back some of the golden foil on the top of one of the 3 rings.
chocolate?
The Demon King smiled.
You're not the only clever one here, Yui Shaw.
And then he hit me. He hit me so hard that I flew backward, smashing into the throne. I felt something in me crack, and I felt a surge of pain like nothing I had ever experienced. If he'd used his sword rather than a bare hand, I had no doubt he would have split me in half. My vision turned red for just an instant on impact, and by the time it cleared, he was standing in front of me again, sword raised.
You didn't think I'd put the real pieces in plain sight like that, did you? Come now, Yui. I'm not the kind of Demon King that makes things so simple.
I know. I coughed. That's why I like you.
Like?
Blink. I vanished again, crossing the room. Not to the entrance, but to a corner. I needed to buy time to think. He spun. I drank a healing potion and recast my flicker spell. I knew I had no chance in a fair fight against the Demon King. But a fair fight had never been the plan. Inventory. Remove 10 units of water. Back at the water temple, Ken had asked me to put the sacred water back in the lake after we were done. It was deadly to demons and undead, being blessed with the power of the goddesses. It was why the Demon King had never breached that particular temple. I neglected to put the water back. I had other plans for it. In a matter of moments, I had flooded the Demon King's throne room with holy water. Dirk had just a moment to shout in alarm before the water reached him, and I heard something burn. I was submerged in the water too, but being human, it didn't do me any harm. Well, no more than the harm of not being able to breathe properly underwater, that is. It was possible that I should have listened to Ken when he recommended magic swimwear. I had to hope the water would burn the Demon King enough to incapacitate him before I drowned. As I watched Dirk through water-blurred vision, however, I realized that I had significantly underestimated him. The burning I'd heard wasn't Dirk's skin exposed to holy water. It was the sound of his blistering hot aura, obliterating the water before it even came close. And so, as I briefly floated in the water, I saw a very angry Demon King walking slowly toward me, completely unhindered by the small lake that I dropped into his throne room. He raised his right hand, and it began to glow. Crud. I did not like the idea of being hit with a Demon King obliteration beam. Blink. I moved again, a wave of exhaustion hitting me as I reappeared behind the throne and took cover. A moment later, there was a colossal explosion. The room trembled, and much of the water within it evaporated in an instant. Fortunately, that same water, and a surprisingly sturdy throne, served to dampen the blast to the point where it barely hurt me. With a thought, I drained the rest of the water in the room, then grabbed and drank another healing potion. A moment later, Dirk's sword flashed straight through the throne, cutting it in half and very nearly bisecting me. My flicker spell triggered again. Exhausted, I took a swing at him. He parried easily, but that was fine. I stepped in while our swords met and put a hand on his chest. Lesser teleport. I didn't cast it on me. My blink spell, of course, could be used on other people. And lesser teleport had much better range. I teleported Dirk straight out of the room and directly into the obliterating barrier field that surrounded his castle. For a moment, I was alone. I did a quick search, finding a false wall in the most obvious place possible, right behind the throne. With luck, perhaps it would lead to where the last of the Pentacrest pieces were located. I couldn't find the switch to open the false wall, but I didn't need one. I was just about to phase straight through the wall when Dirk reappeared in the center of the room. His body was smoking, and his clothes badly burned. He glared at me.
You.
His fists tightened, and he trembled.
You actually hurt me.
I beamed at him. Ready to surrender and join me, Demon King?
I am far from beaten.
He raised his sword, the blade blazing with blackness.
Enough of this. I will end you with my next strike.
The world around him trembled. I could feel the entire castle shaking, and I heard sounds of something snapping as glimmering lines appeared next to him with every passing moment.
Are those cracks appearing in the air? Yeah, that's definitely not something that should happen. I renewed my flicker spell again, but I knew it would not be enough to handle an attack of that magnitude. No, for this, it was time to deploy my final, most desperate plan. I couldn't possibly beat the Demon King. I'd known that from the start. But there was someone who could. Only a true hero could wield the hero sword and defeat the Demon King. And, as it so happened, I had one available. Inventory. Remove sacred platform. A ring of stone appeared on the ground in front of me. A glimmering circle of binding force that had once stood in the water temple near the sacred tree. And along with it appeared the hero's shadow, bound to the location of the platform for defying the will of the silver goddesses. In his right hand, he held a shield formed of solid shadow. And in his left, shining with unsurpassed brilliance, was the hero's sword. I had never found a way to take the hero's sword out of the shrine on my own, you see. My spells were never strong enough to defeat the enchantments the goddesses had placed on the platform. But ultimately, I hadn't needed to. All it required was a true hero to draw and wield the sword. And the Water Temple hero, the man who had become the hero's shadow, was the most powerful hero who had ever lived. I'd known the hero's shadow had been tied to the location of the sacred platform that had trapped him in the Water Temple. I'd taken the platform out inside the sacred shrine, allowing the hero's shadow to appear and draw the sword. Then I'd stored the platform again, causing the hero and sword to be stored inside my inventory along with it. Then I'd used my project skill to create an illusion of the hero's sword in place of the real one. It wouldn't trick people for long, but I'd gotten away without anyone noticing. After all that, I'd kept the platform in my inventory until the perfect moment. Now, the battle between the hero and the Demon King could finally begin. Step 11. There were only 10 steps. What went wrong? The hero's shadow surged across the room, his blade a flash of silver in the dark. Dirk, to his credit, reacted in an instant. He brought his own blade down so quickly that I couldn't even follow it. I chugged mana potions as I watched the show, just in case. The hero's shadow blocked with his shield, then riposted. And for the first time, Dirk Lord, the Demon King, began to bleed. Staggering backward, Dirk reached a hand to his chest in disbelief.
"You," he hissed. "I will destroy you."
The hero's shadow didn't respond with words. The hero, I'd been told, had always been the silent type. Instead, he bashed his sword and shield together. The message was the same as when he'd made that gesture against me in the Water Temple. "Come and get me." The Demon King was happy to oblige, but perhaps not in the way the hero had hoped. He flickered and vanished, reappearing right behind the hero's shadow, already swinging a crippling downward cut. It was a mistake. After all, a spin attack was the hero's signature move. In a single motion, the hero's shadow spun, leaving a trail of silver in the air as he slashed across Dirk's chest. Dirk fell backward again, then vanished, appearing across the room.
"Let's see how you like this. Burn in the fires of the abyss, hero."
With an outstretched hand, he hurled a sphere of energy in the hero's direction. The hero's shadow brought up his sword and, with casual ease, smashed it into the energy ball, sending it straight back at Dirk. The hero's sword could reflect magic, after all. The energy ball hit with crippling force, and Dirk shuddered at the impact. The hero charged, and Dirk recovered to meet him. Their blades sang, exchanging blows with lightning-fast speed and incredible skill. For a moment, they appeared evenly matched. But Dirk, for all his power and cunning, was a Demon King. He was at an inherent disadvantage against the hero, the one opponent he could never truly defeat in an equal contest, and this hero was the strongest one who had ever lived. Slowly, but with great certainty, the Demon King was losing the battle. It was clear from his expression that he knew this, but he did not withdraw. At first, I thought this was mere stubbornness on his part. Perhaps he thought that with a lucky strike, he could upend fate and defeat the hero himself. But I had, once again, underestimated the Demon King. And I'd forgotten that, like me, he was not alone. As the swordsmen exchanged blows, Dirk switched to a one-handed grip on his sword and feigned a lunge. The hero took the opening immediately and struck Dirk, his sword plunging deep into the Demon King's chest. Dirk dropped his sword, grabbing the hero's blade with one hand, and with the other hand he snapped his fingers.
Good night, hero.
Mighty Mordragon, the first of the demon generals, appeared right behind the hero, and as Mordragon brought six swords down at once, the hero's sword remained trapped in the Demon King's chest. Blink. I appeared back to back with the hero's shadow, deflecting two of the descending swords. Two hissed past me, missing. One whished through me, nullified by my flicker spell. But the last of the six swords hit me in the right shoulder, cutting deep. I screamed in agony, then kicked Mighty Mordragon in the chest. He didn't even budge. The hero did, though. With a sudden surge of strength, he ripped his sword free from Dirk's chest. Dirk coughed, falling back, and then vanished, reappearing near the throne. I stumbled, too, falling gracelessly to the floor. The hero jumped in front of me, his single sword deflecting a rain of incoming strikes from the demon general. I blinked again, out of the way of the fight, and pulled another healing potion out of my inventory. While I drank it, I watched as Dirk began to glow brighter and brighter, his crimson aura spreading further with every passing moment. Dirk burst into laughter, then a fit of coughing. After a moment, he wiped blood from his lips and spoke.
Fools, you think you've won? Just because you've injured me and defeated my generals?
Mighty Mordragon looked wounded.
Hey, boss, I'm still right here.
The hero's shadow slammed his shield into Mordragon's face, and the demon general fell unconscious to the floor. Dirk cackled again, clapping his hands together. An enervating wave flowed across the chamber, and I felt my strength fade as it struck me. I fell to the ground, barely able to move. The hero's shadow didn't seem affected in the slightest. He strode toward the stairs to the throne with great confidence, his sword still blazing with light. Dirk staggered forward to the pedestal in front of the throne, and in that moment, I realized I had made a crucial mistake. I might have kind of left my pentacrest pieces on top of it, next to the fake chocolate ones. Blink, I said in a panic, as Dirk pulled out the necklace that was tucked into his armor, revealing three golden rings attached to the chain.
You have insufficient mana to use this spell.
The wave of enervating magic that had crossed the room had drained almost all of my mana. I didn't have enough left to blink. I reached out with my right hand. Gravity! The rings twitched, but didn't fly toward me. They were too far away. I opened my inventory and began to drink a mana potion, but I wasn't quick enough. Dirk tore free his necklace, pressing his three rings on top of the two that were already on the pedestal. And with that, the pentacrest was whole. The hero's shadow lunged, faster than I had ever seen anyone move. He still wasn't fast enough. The whole world stopped. All except for the Demon King, who held the completed pentacrest in his hands. With a great laugh, he raised it above his head.
Silver goddesses, I have claimed your power for my own.
Light spread across his body, tremendous energy flooding into him. He cackled, and then bent over double.
This is... No. What is happening?
Dirk broke into coughing, then gestured toward me. I felt something then. A trembling in the air, and I was freed from the effect that had held me in place. I sighed, shaking my head. I warned you. Wings burst from Dirk's back. Horns shot out from his head. His hands shifted into vicious claws. A spiked tail descended from his spine. Dirk trembled, falling to the floor.
What is this?
That, I explained, as I barely pushed myself to my feet, is your second form. The pentacrest slipped free from his grasp, tumbling to the ground, and Dirk, still growing and shifting into a more bestial state, howled into the air. The hero's shadow might have struck then, but he remained frozen in place, as if time had stopped for him. Whatever power that had activated when the pentacrest had been touched still held him, and I had no idea how long it would last. It was up to me to end the nightmare. Dirk turned toward me, his eyes blazing with pain and rage.
You did this! You tricked me!
I shook my head sadly. I didn't want it to end this way. I still don't want it to. We can end this together, if you'll let me.
No!
He held his hands to his head, as if to block out a sound only he could hear.
I can't! Ah!
He screamed again.
I need more power. More power! With it, I'll change everything!
He picked up the pentacrest and lifted it again over his head. It began to glow, brighter than ever before. Power began to build around him. The strength of the Demon King and the pentacrest combined. I rushed toward him, only to be rebuffed by the sheer force of the power. No, Dirk! Stop! This is insanity! He paid me no heed. I tried to press forward, but I couldn't get close enough to reach him. The energy began to build, the air around him crackling dangerously. The throne room trembled, rocks falling from the ceiling. It was obvious what Dirk was trying to do, and it was obvious that he was going to fail. In my best guess, he had mere seconds before a detonation of power would occur, utterly obliterating everything nearby. I couldn't possibly survive that. No one could, save perhaps the Demon King himself. The hero's shadow was still frozen in place. If he could have moved, perhaps he would have been strong enough to shield us somehow. Perhaps with the reflective power of the sword. The sword. A plan clicked into my mind just in time. Blink! I appeared next to Mordragon's unconscious body and grabbed him. With my unencumbered skill, I was able to carry him easily. Blink! I appeared next to the hero, Mordragon with me. Energy continued to build around Dirk as he screamed. It was reaching a critical point. We only had seconds remaining before the explosion came. I put a hand on the hero's shoulder. I really hope this works. I took a deep breath. Then I touched the blade of the hero's sword. Inventory. I saw the flicker of a message, too fast to read, but I knew what it would say.
Your inventory spell has been reflected.
I found myself floating underwater, with a broad variety of objects floating around me. Beyond the water was an endless void of darkness. But I was not alone. The hero's shadow was with me in that underwater place. He turned toward me as I reached out for him, taking my hand with his left, which was now empty. He looked confused, but not uncomfortable. Apparently, he could breathe underwater. I couldn't, but I'd taken a deep breath, knowing what was likely to happen when I used my inventory spell on the sword. I'd counted on it, in fact. Ordinarily, there were very few things my inventory couldn't store, people being at the top of that list. But I knew there were exceptions to that rule. I'd been able to store the hero's shadow by storing the platform he'd been bound to, and I also knew there was one specific case where I'd managed to get inside my own inventory. I'd counted on doing that deliberately this time. The hero's sword had once again reflected my inventory spell. And now we were inside it, floating in the water that I'd stored there. Potions bumped into me in the water, and I saw a few decorative swords bobbing somewhere not far away. Mordragon was floating nearby too, still unconscious. I hoped he wouldn't drown right away. I was glad he'd come along with me when the spell had been reflected. I'd hoped carrying him would work, but I hadn't been certain. I held my breath as long as I could, then sent a command with my mind. Inventory.
remove Yui Sha, More Dragon, and Hero's Shadow. And then, with a moment of disorientation, I was moved again. I landed inside a crater. The Demon King's throne room had been utterly obliterated. Dirk was on the ground near where the throne must have been before. He wasn't moving. More Dragon appeared next to me. I quickly checked to make sure that he hadn't drowned, but I couldn't tell. The hero's shadow appeared next to me a moment later. He immediately retrieved his sword, which was also seemingly undamaged. The pentacrest, however, was not. The golden rings had been split apart, and each had been broken to pieces. The spell reflection powers of the hero's sword hadn't just reflected my inventory spell. They'd reflected the pentacrest's blast, too, straight back into the legendary object itself. I didn't know if the pentacrest had been permanently destroyed, but I knew I wasn't going to take any risks. Blink! I teleported, and immediately shoved the first broken piece into my inventory, then rushed to collect the others. I set two in one inventory, two in my second inventory, and kept a single one physically out in the world. I didn't want them to recombine, even by accident. I rushed to Dirk's side. He was back in his humanoid form, his tail and wings gone. I reached down and put a hand on his chest. I felt it rising and falling, just barely. He was unconscious and bleeding badly, but alive. I pulled my remaining potions out of my inventory and used them on him. They weren't enough. The hero's shadow moved. For a moment, I thought he might strike Dirk down before I could find a way to heal him. Instead, he walked somewhere else. No, he moved to a circle on the ground, a circle of runes which had held him prisoner for millennia, but were now blasted apart by the Demon King and Pentacrest's combined power. Only a handful of runes remained lit on the ring. The hero's shadow raised his sword and, with a single swift movement, sliced it apart. The final runes flickered and died, and the hero's shadow was a shadow no more. With a gasp, he fell to his knees. A wave of color washed over his body. Black clothes gave way to brilliant green, and as the glow faded from his skin, I could see the ordinary brown color that shadows had concealed. He pushed himself to his feet, lifting his arms and gawking at them. Then, with great haste, he moved to my side. "He's dying," I told the Water Temple Hero. "Can you save him?" The Water Temple Hero frowned, raising a hand to his chin. Then he gave a grunt and raised a finger in a one-moment gesture. He reached into a bag at his side and retrieved a flute, and with it, he played a melody I recognized. The song of fairy calling. As the melody took to the air, I heard an immediate response, the fluttering of tiny wings, and then a gasp.
"It's you! It's really you!"
Vex was floating above us, gawking at the Water Temple Hero. She looked a little scraped and bruised, but otherwise perfectly fine.
"You're okay."
The Water Temple Hero smiled at her, then made a series of quick hand gestures I couldn't understand.
"Got it. I'm on it."
Vex descended from the sky, landing on the fallen Demon King's chest. Then, swiftly, she slapped him across the face. There was a spark of energy that flowed through her hand. The Demon King's wounds sealed shut. He burst into a fit of coughing, his eyes slowly fluttering open.
"Where? What happened?" he asked, his voice weak.
I leaned close, then bopped him on the nose. "You lost."
"I did?"
he coughed again, shaking his head.
"I must have."
His expression shifted quickly to concern, then resolve.
"Then, I suppose you must take my life."
I snorted. "No, Demon King." I shook my head. "I'm going to give you half of the world." A deal was a deal, after all.
Epilogue. Find a new goal. In the aftermath of the battle, we found that both my companions and the demon generals had survived. K
Ken had defeated the Bishop of Blackness in a theological trivia contest, which apparently had been sufficient to constitute an overall victory between the two. After that, he'd rushed to the next room and found the fallen fairy crying. Vex had apparently defeated her in a contest of insulting banter. Ken, being a friendly guy, stayed with the fallen fairy until she felt better. Nameless Kage and the Deacon of Darkness had chased each other around for a while, after which they'd gotten exhausted with their game of hide-and-seek and sat down to play some kind of board game instead. It was a long one, so it had still been going on when the ultimate battle between good and evil was finished. I wasn't sure if I was relieved or infuriated by how all that had played out while I'd risked my life. Mordragon was tremendously grateful that I'd chosen to save him from the room-destroying explosion and pledged his eternal loyalty to me. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that. But he made some really impressive poses, so I decided he'd make a good ally in the future. With the forces of the Demon King defeated, except for in the board game, which was still going, we all met to discuss the next steps. Together, we sat in a circle in the crater that used to be the Demon King's room, and for the first time in known history, we began a dialogue between humans and demons.
"Dirk was the Demon King?"
Ken gasped.
"Sorry, Ken."
Dirk winced, giving Ken a sheepish look.
"My bad."
I sighed. The Water Temple hero sighed with me. Our discussions went on for much of the night. A pact was reached. For the time being, we would split the world between us. The Demon King's forces would peacefully fall back, allowing humans and demi-humans to reclaim much of their territory until half of the world was once again in their hands. This was, however, a temporary measure while we worked to implement a better one, a better future, where humans and demons could live together in harmony. Not in different halves of the world, but together. We were more similar than different, after all. We knew that there would be opposition. The faithful of the Silver Goddesses would not abide any alliance with the Demon King, at least at first. We would need to work hard over time to convince them. Ken swore to make changes throughout the church, but he knew he would face an uphill battle. His word about what had truly happened would be hard to believe for many that hadn't seen it. Many lives had been lost among humans, demi-humans, and others. Revenge would not be easily sated with words. We knew that there would be battles ahead. Not everyone would agree to peace. But we would not be alone in our efforts in that regard either. With a dramatic flourish, the nameless Kage removed her ninja mask, revealing that she was, to absolutely no one's surprise, actually Princess Fitzgerald, heir to the throne of her kingdom. With her powerful influence and charisma, we hoped to make changes as smoothly as possible. As the leader of a nation, she would meet frequently with Dirk, who worked hard to reform his own demon kingdom toward peaceful ends. Over time, those meetings turned from professional to personal. I suspected it might not be long before the human and demon kingdoms were ruled by a single family. The Water Temple hero, fully human once again, set off on a journey to explore the much-changed world he had awakened into. He would not be alone. Vex, having lost the Water Temple hero once, would never leave his side again. Together, they would travel to meet with the great fairies and sway the fairies to our cause. For her great valor, Vex's title was changed. It was no longer the fairy who failed. She would, forever after, be known as the fairy who defeated you. Just as she had boasted. This was confusing to literally everyone, but she loved it, and I adored her, so I helped spread the word. After all that, Ken and I visited the Wood Temple again. It took significant work, but we eventually managed to move the immortal old man's entire room out of the Wood Temple and to the Sword Shrine, where he'd no longer have to live his extended life in seclusion. The old man continued to give his all-important secret to many visitors, but I don't know if anyone ever figured out what it meant. Ken and I spent the years that followed traveling the world together. We undertook many more dangerous quests and searched for ancient treasures and secrets, growing in power and influence. We knew it was necessary to get as strong as possible for the next stage of my plan.
I might have defeated the Demon King, but the Silver Goddesses would be a much greater challenge.
This has been an Audible Original, produced by Audible Originals, written by Andrew Rowe, performed by Susie Jackson and Steve West. Executive producers Steve Feldberg and Chelsea Pita. Edited by Kevin Mazur. Mastered by John Dracy. Acquisition and development, Steve Feldberg. Vice President of Audible Studios, Mike Charzik. Editor-in-Chief, Audible Original Publishing, David Blum. Copyright 2020 by Andrew Rowe. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.